Welcome to episode 103 of The Trending Show, the show where we tell you what has been trending on the internet for the week of April 22nd all the way through today, April 28th. I'm Natalie Morris, he's Mike Quackenbush, and we're going to tell you about some trending topics and why they're fun to know.
That is what we are going to do.
It's fun to know this stuff. Mm-hmm. You bring it up in casual conversation as if you are in the know.
Have you ever stood at a water cooler ever in your life to talk to people about this sort of gossip?
No, I haven't. But I might have brought it up at, say, I don't know, like a microwave. Mm-hmm. I don't think people drink out of water coolers anymore.
Really. No, you don't think? We're no longer getting our water that way?
Well, maybe they do, but I don't think you congregate around that anymore. Mm. The new thing to congregate around is either coffee or cocaine. Mm. Right?
Okay.
So let's talk about some things that trended starting Monday, April 22nd, trending on Google, paleo diet. The Washington Post published an interview with evolutionary biologist Marlene Zuck. She refuted that the paleo diet is really the best way to eat. Now, we've talked about this before because a lot of times Dr. Oz will say that paleo is amazing and then it will start to trend. It's a very popular diet. It recommends that you eat food as it comes out of the ground and you also avoid sugar, dairy, and processed foods. The biologist who was interviewed in the Post this week, she says there's a trend these days that's called paleo nostalgia. It's this notion that we were all better off before agriculture, civilization, or the Industrial Revolution. Now, I think I am very guilty of paleo nostalgia. I think this stuff a lot, especially as it comes to child rearing. Like, this is so much harder because I'm trying to raise a child in a house instead of just letting them run around and explore their environment.
Right. It's never too late to go wigwam.
Right? So, I think that I suffer from a lot of paleo nostalgia. But she says, as it relates to food, this isn't necessarily the best way to go. She says a lot of the paleo diet and the paleo theory is valid, but our bodies do evolve to handle more processed food. Not processed food, rather, but more popular food like starch or dairy. No sugar, though. She still thinks that's the enemy. But she does say that adapting to modern food practices in a healthful way is more desirable than trying to pretend that you live in the Paleolithic era, when, in fact, we do not.
That's true. We do not. If we did, we would be the bad part of a dinosaur's diet.
That's true. Yeah, so we're at least at the top of the food chain this way. But, I've tried little pieces of paleo, and there are things that I really can't do, like give up dairy. I mean, I guess I could if I really put my heart to it, but my heart's not in it. I love dairy. And also legumes is another thing that they don't recommend that you eat because they have like a resin on them that makes them poisonous to predators. And so it's not very good for us either. But if you soak your beans in your legumes for a full day before eating them, then usually you're okay. But these are the things that I can't bring myself to take that extra step, even though I don't really eat sugar or processed carbohydrates at all. What do you think about that? You think it's extreme? You can't commit to it?
Nothing interests me less. Ah, that's not true. There's always politics.
You're fine even in your holiday pie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's right. Our bodies thrive on that stuff now. It's foolhardy to think that the world is going to reverse. Even a Superman bedecked Christopher Reeve required movie magic.
How can you say our bodies thrive on that? We have the biggest epidemic of, or the biggest obesity and diabetes rates ever. Our bodies do not thrive on that stuff.
I don't, but when they're cutting off my limbs, if you want to come and have a
that might
laugh
not
at me
be
then.
Too much down the road with that kind of stuff. We joke about it, but it is very serious.
Oh, people do lose limbs.
Yes, yeah. So, all right, I don't want to
lepers.
I don't want to minimize. I think that processed food and sugar are actually toxic. In fact, I've read books that from biologists and epidemiologists and who's the guy who wrote Fat Chance. He's a.
You know that party I agreed to come to about 5 minutes ago?
Right.
I'm already having second thoughts.
I'm going to serve cake. Come on, I'll serve cake at a party. But by and large, I try to avoid sugar as much as possible because there is research that shows that our body reacts to sugar in the exact same way that we react to poison.
Hmm.
So, okay. Let's talk about Michael Shannon. This is a much funnier story. He's an actor with an amazing sense of humor. He was in a video on Funny or Die where he read this rendition of a sorority email that went viral last week. So the sorority girl sent an email from the University of Maryland Delta Gamma sorority, and she was rageful. She was curse-filled. She was pissed off that her sorority sisters were just being very socially inept and embarrassing her. The language and the rage is comical in itself, but then actor Michael Shannon, who is best known for his role in Boardwalk Empire or Revolutionary Road, he read the email with so much passion. He really owned it. The video went viral. I think it was one of the funnier things I've seen in quite some time.
I watched this video as well, Natalie.
And? Did you actually lol?
No. I think probably because I write emails like that all the time.
No, you don't.
I felt very self-conscious upon I was like, oh, God, somebody somewhere is probably trying to do that to one of them I just sent. But it was funny.
But you didn't laugh. Did you at least snicker? Did your shoulders raise up a little bit?
No, and I'll tell you why. I think the greatest of these, sort of like an impassioned but insincere reading of something like this, no one will ever top. And I know we're going back quite a ways here. About 15 or 20 years ago, William Shatner appeared on the MTV Music Awards. And all the songs that had been nominated for Song of the Year, he basically did what Michael Shannon did with the lyrics. And they became insipid. Like it was, you couldn't help but laugh at these things. Whereas, obviously, unless it was fabricated, this letter from the head of the sorority or whatever. I mean, sorority, you know what I mean? To me, sorority chicks are kind of already, like, vapid. And, so the content of that or everything else doesn't shock me at all. I'm not surprised that exists. What's just surprising is that someone took the time to film Michael Shannon reiterating it.
Right.
But it does seem to take a back seat to William Shatner, like reciting "Everything I do it for you" by Bryan Adams, like in a sort of insincere way.
All right, I thought it was better than that. I remember that, and
you
do. I don't think I really lolled at that at all.
Really,
I don't. I find William Shatner kind of nauseating.
Oh,
there's something about him that I think is a little too contrived. He's one of those that kind of snickers at the joke before he makes it. He makes a face, or he's going to do something that he thinks is funny.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just not my favorite.
Oh, he's not my favorite either. But I and a man that you may or may not be married to found that so funny that we would videotape them all so we could watch them over and over again. And we found it endlessly amusing.
Right. Well, the email, the woman who wrote the email, I guess we shouldn't, I don't know if we can call her a woman, but she is over 21. She resigned from her post as the head of this sorority and the main grand poopah of Delta Gamma, I'm not at all familiar with Greek life, said that this does not reflect our social values. We don't approve of this kind of language. And so it became something that was really embarrassing to them. But I was remarking to my husband last night, can you imagine that you care so much about other people's social behavior that you just set yourself on fire like this?
It is a little difficult to imagine, but if you have nothing else happening in your life but that,
yeah,
that's everything.
I mean, even if you do, the fact that you allow this to be so important to you, I think she's got her priorities not straight, unstraight. Crooked.
She's in a sorority,
right? Yeah, I wasn't into the Greek thing. I know my husband was in a fraternity, so I won't say too much about it, but he's lame for that.
Mm.
So, no, people who are, we're going to get emails about this because people who are in Greek life are going to say that it was cool and that it was worth their time and money and effort. And I'm sure it meant something to those people. I just never really related. But I went to a commuter school. I was uncool. We already know that I'm uncool. So you can't convince me of something being cool.
I won't.
Okay, don't try. Chrissy Amphlett, she trended also on Monday, April 22nd. She was the lead singer of the Australian rock band The Divinyls. She died at her home in New York City this week at the age of 53. She had been suffering from breast cancer and also multiple sclerosis. Her most famous hit was in the 90s with the song I Touch Myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had no idea she was that old.
53 is not that old to be dying.
Well, no, I mean, we're all dying all the time, but
especially you.
Yes. Yes, my goodness. But, I had no idea she was that old.
Yeah, I don't know that that even seems that old. I mean, we went to see Sting not too long ago, and he's like, I'm 60 years old. And I turned to Clayton, I'm like, he's the same as your mom. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think, you know, most of the rock stars from the 90s are now upper 40s. So 53 is not that much older than that, I guess. I don't know. Mm. Did they have many more hits than I Touch Myself?
Not really.
Yeah. That's a they went a long way on that song, I would say, then.
I think so. That's like a band I really never kept track of, but I do think they got a lot of mileage out of that.
Yeah, me neither. So once I went to karaoke, and it was one of those things where the DJ's like, oh, I'm going to put on a song for you. Just come up with your friends. And my parents were in the audience, and the DJ, karaoke DJ, can you even call them that, put on the I Touch Myself, and I was like, I don't want to sing this in front of my parents.
Mm.
But I did it.
Yeah. Well, you know, they've always... The members of the band, the Divinyls, have always disputed the popular misconception of the topicality of that song. And they said that it has a spiritual meaning and that people who are trying to impose a more physical interpretation on it are just dirty-minded.
Oh, okay.
However, if you've ever seen the music video, I feel like they're trying to lead you in that direction.
Well, then, who are they to talk?
Mm.
Okay, Jaguars' new uniform trended on Tuesday, April 23rd. The football team unveiled new uniforms and a two-tone helmet this week. They call it the NFL Nike Elite 51. The Seattle team wore the same uniform design and technology last year, so now the Jaguars are going to do it. The team owner called the new design a piece of art. Did you look at this art?
They're cool.
Yeah?
I mean,
do some gardening in that? Get some stuff done?
No, and I did think it was funny how, you know, they seem to be making too much about the fashion of it, right? Which is not cool for football dudes to talk about. So then, like, at the end, the coach was like, yeah, but you know what this is really about? These uniforms are about winning, you know? And I kind of thought, like, And he said, he made that remark, you know, like, yeah, these might be pieces of art, but they're going to look great with dirt and grass stains on them.
All right. I mean, you do psych yourself up with the uniform, right? You do that in your professional life. You put on something that feels kind of badass. Should I say that? Ass?
Well, no. But yes, I agree in that, you know, the costume, it's a persona that you don in the same way that I think, you know, the uniform of a football player is kind of a persona that they don. And maybe there are some people that they don't see it that way. You know, it's certainly open to interpretation, but... it should be an expression of that persona.
I wonder what would happen if I put that on. Would I feel that way?
If you put on that football uniform, it probably wouldn't fit.
What if I had one made for me? Would I feel kind of ready to tackle people?
You might. It might bring it out. You'd be really surprised. I've had that discussion with more than one person in my life about when they look at a costume or a mask or things like that, which they think, I can never imagine putting that on. You know, they feel like it inhibits... who they are. And yet there's something about that, about giving yourself to a persona or to a character that is not entirely you, that is very liberating. And sometimes you might be surprised at the power that the anonymity it brings grants you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, if I'm feeling a little low, sometimes I'll put on a football uniform and just walk around my neighborhood. And the anonymity will make me feel better.
Mm. It did look cool.
It looked cool. You're right. You could do a lot in there besides just football.
And that became like a huge trending thing. Why? Like, people were like, oh,
like,
that's what football dudes wear.
I gotta see. You know what? A lot of football trended this week because there's the NFL draft this weekend. So there was all yesterday and today, all weekend, it was the names of people who were drafted. I left it out of the show. So I think they were making this announcement in the festivities surrounding the draft.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, before we go on, would you like to tell our listeners about Cobra?
Sure, I'll tell them about Cobra. It's important that we do. And that's not just because they're pals of ours or our long-standing show sponsors, both of which they are. If you live on the go, like I do, I'm traveling all the time. I'm in my car, I'm going all over the place, I'm always on the move. And I don't know about you, but I can barely afford my Starbucks habit these days. I certainly can't afford to be getting a citation. Which is why everywhere I go, I take the Cobra iRadar system with me. It is an industry leader and an award-winning radar, red light, and laser detection system, and really a whole lot more as well, that makes you far more alert as a driver, and it keeps you safe when you're out and about. So you might wonder, well, how is that possible? How could this thing really benefit me? And when I first heard about the Cobra Eye radar system and found out that I'd be having one in my car soon, I really wondered, am I going to use this thing all that often? Or is it going to be one of those needless accessories? And I think if, and I know Natalie's done road trips with an iRadar as well, you'd be surprised. Once you've got one, you think, how did I ever get by before I had this? It is powered by the Aura Driving Hazard Database. That's a database that gets verified and then re-verified twice every single day for maximum real-time accuracy about every type of driving hazard everywhere. And that way, you can be certain that you're getting the most up-to-date information, and you don't have to worry about, oh man, I'm going to get this, or oh, I don't know about that. It makes sure that you have all the latest information and that you're safe, alert, and you get to your destination in the best way possible. These make great gifts, and you can go over right now and save on Cobra.com when you look for the iRadar system. Drop by and see them. Natalie and I would appreciate it very much if you did.
Please do. Okay, trending on April 23rd, Alan Arbus. He was an American actor known for playing the psychiatrist Sidney Friedman on the television series MASH in the 70s and 80s. Now, you and I have talked about MASH a few times, about how it kind of did not interest us, even though it was a huge cult, had a huge it was a huge phenomenon. So this actor died at the age of 95 from congestive heart failure in his home in Los Angeles. I didn't know this character. Like I said, MASH, you know, it came on even in reruns when we were kids, and I never really paid much attention.
Right. I can't even picture who that actor is.
No, me either. I had to look him up on Wikipedia. But we're sad for him. Anyway, I guess. Yep. Gwyneth Paltrow trended on Wednesday, April 24th. The actress was named People Magazine's Most Beautiful Woman on
their
list.
I was going to guess that. Because I see magazines when I'm checking out at Target.
Oh, so you saw her on the cover already.
I did. It said People's Most Beautiful Woman, or whatever the exact title is they bestowed upon her.
Well, you know, we often report who has been chosen this top beauty. But it's usually pretty controversial because people are like, no, she's not. This woman is, or whatever. But these things, anyone who's under the illusion that it's not just a big publicity wheel is fooling themselves, because usually the person selected has some kind of important project to promote, and Paltrow is no different. Her latest movie, Iron Man 3, opens in just a week.
So are you saying, or perhaps are you insinuating, that these awards are bought and paid for?
Yes. That's what I'm insinuating, or at least heavily coveted by agents. And there are things that people do, I think, that, you know, we shall not talk about in the light of day in order to make sure that their clients make the list when a big project is on the way. Because Gwyneth Paltrow, why would we just randomly pick her? She's been on the scene for almost two decades now.
Right. Okay. Who in the past has won this award?
Jennifer Lopez, I think. I know Michelle Pfeiffer has a few times. Julia Roberts.
Oh, Julia Roberts.
You hate Julia Roberts, too?
Julia Roberts, come on. That one was bought and paid for. Like Gwyneth Paltrow and J-Lo, maybe they won it or whatever, but somebody paid for Julia Roberts to win that.
Because you think she's unattractive, or you think she's just a big...
You got it.
Oh, well. Okay. I mean, you know, the only person I've ever heard you say nice things about aesthetically were Gwyneth. No, not even aesthetically. I don't know if you've ever said you thought Gwyneth Paltrow was a pretty girl.
Sure.
But you said
sure
you liked her as Pepper Potts.
I sure do, yeah.
So that's complimentary coming from you.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's all you have to say about it. But
it's not controversial to me this year.
Okay. All right. I'm sure we'll have some Iron Man stuff to talk about next week. But, you know, there's been a lot of interviews with her going around. And, you know, she did say, I think in one interview recently, that she's pretty sure that they're done with Iron Man. This is the last of it.
That's very interesting. So something tells me it'll depend on what it grosses at the box office.
Right. Yeah. I don't think she wants to be in Iron Man 4. I think she considers herself kind of above that kind of sequel.
Above a fourth one. The third one, I don't know. You know, in terms of the continuity, actually, this one is the fourth. I just kind of caught this, that in Marvel, the way they're framing it, Avengers is actually the third, quote-unquote, Iron Man film, even though it's numbered as such, which I thought was an interesting take on it, and that this one is actually the fourth one in their minds.
In which case, she has to do Iron Man 5, which will be the Avengers 2.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, I can't imagine she's not sticking around for Avengers 2, because unless she sleeps on the world's biggest pile of money, I can't imagine she's going to be like, nah, you know, leave me off that Avengers thing. I'm not sure how that's going to do.
Right. And I think eventually, I just keep seeing her in these roles as youthful ladies, and I think that eventually we're going to get tired of that, because she's getting on 40 now. She can't just be this cute young thing anymore. So if I were her, I would ride this Pepper Potts thing as long as she can.
Right. And you know how it is. Like, remember, I'm sure on Dawson's Creek, like, those kids were probably nearing 30 and they were still playing high school seniors. Like, it's all just kind of how they shoot it and stuff. And if they want to try and frame her like she's younger than she is, I'm sure Hollywood will find a way to do it.
Mm-hmm. But according to People magazine, no such tricks are needed because she is the most beautiful woman on the list.
All right. Who was the runner-up?
I don't know.
Oh.
I shall try not to follow up on that next week.
Right. Whose agent came in with a slightly less attractive bribe?
I'm not sure. Is it ranked like 50 most beautiful people, as in like 2 is more beautiful than 3 and so forth? Or is it just a list of 50 people?
I never, when I'm checking out at Target, I never pick those magazines up. I just read the covers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to touch them because I feel like that's what other people do.
Right. You're above that. Like she's right. Above Iron Man 4.
Or 5. Okay.
All right, Kate McKinnon, she trended on Wednesday, April 24th. She's a Saturday Night Live actor who is well known for impersonating Ellen DeGeneres. She went on Ellen's talk show this week, and Ellen welcomed the impression. She gave her an identical outfit to wear and do the impression on, in order to do the impression on the show, and it was very well done and funny. So I sent you this as well. Did you find that amusing? I don't know if you have such an opinion of Ellen that you would find that amusing.
Right. Well, she's very charming.
Ellen
McKinnon.
DeGeneres?
No. I find her a little bit grating, actually. But McKinnon, you know, she's very charming. Mm-hmm. She's openly gay. She's you know, one of the unsung heroes of the last season of SNL. I think she's really versatile, and she does more than just impressions. She's very, very funny, and. I thought one, it was great that Ellen seemed to do it with such a good sense of humor, because, you know, I'm sure there's some people that would not take to that very kindly.
Yeah.
And I don't really know Ellen's idiosyncrasies or what her show is like, other than that one episode where Journey was on revealing their new lead singer. I've never watched more than 30 seconds of Ellen because I'm trying to get to the guide on my TV. Like, where's the real stuff I want to watch? But it seemed very funny and it seemed very good-natured. Now, backstage, once the cameras were off, maybe if they slugged it out, that's another matter.
Yeah, I think they probably didn't. Because her personality is that she's so jovial. So mm-hmm. I don't know if that's an act. Who knows?
Right. No, she has a great charisma about her, and she seems very funny.
Yes. Okay, Kylie Bisoudi, she's a 23-year-old former Victoria's Secret model. She's out on the circuit promoting her new book called I'm No Angel. It's about her life as a Victoria's Secret model, where she reveals that she gave up a multi-million dollar career in underwear modeling because it conflicted with her Christian values and made her feel, quote, like a piece of meat.
Oh.
Poor her.
I have never heard that in relation to modeling, ever.
That she's been victimized. She deserves a peaceful life from here on out.
Hmm.
I don't know if we're supposed to feel sorry for her or what. Like, oh, I gave up all this money because I didn't want people to see me in my panties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm a better person for that.
It's fascinating to me the things that you take umbrage with.
Well, I'm not really. I don't know that I'm taking umbrage. I'm just sort of poking fun that she's an idiot.
I see.
Yeah. I don't take umbrage with the fact that it's demeaning to be shot in your underwear, but she chose to do it. And I don't think she's talking about multi-million dollar career. And last week we talked about, what was her name, Kate something or other, who was deciding that she was renewing her contract with Victoria's Secret. She's the wife of, what's her name? We talked about her.
Yeah, we talked about her.
Maybe it was more than a couple weeks ago, actually.
Orlando Bloom's wife.
Right. I cannot think of
what her name is. I wouldn't even know what she looks like, except then after the show,
anyways,
I Googled her.
So, but they were talking about how she had $1 million a year contract. And it was just, like I said, $1 million is not that much, considering how much they use the heck out of those photos. So I think that they've always had a reputation for being low paid. Even I think Giselle and Heidi Klum left them because of that, because their careers got so much bigger than this, and Victoria's Secret just wouldn't pay. Right. So, I don't know. I guess this is just more evidence that Victoria's Secret is not all it's cracked up to be when you become a Victoria's Secret model. But, you know, let's ask this Kylie Bisoudi if she would take a, I don't know, a higher paid underwear modeling contract, or maybe she just wants to do Christian clothes. I don't know. Maybe she wants to do nothing. Who cares about her?
Let's just throw her right under the bus.
Google apparently cares about her, but hopefully we don't have to talk about her again.
I'm going to ask you to throw somebody under a bus. Are you ready for a new segment?
Yes, I am.
You're not supposed to be. It's a surprise. All right, here we go.
I'm
this
always
is what
ready.
I do. I go swimming through the Twittersphere, and I find something, and then I make something up. It's up to Natalie to determine which one's real and which one is not. So one of these is a top trending topic right now in the United States, and one isn't. First one is hashtag you just pulled a Bieber, and the other is hashtag you just pulled an Obama.
Actually, I know this one.
You
it's
do.
You just pulled an Obama. Because I was happening to look around some trending topics.
You are exactly right. And at least since we started recording this program, over 350 new people have joined the discussion using hashtag you just pulled an Obama. A cheerleader from Miami that said this. She said, if you think apologizing to Muslims will reduce terrorist attacks, hashtag you just pulled an Obama. Way to stick it to the prez, Jessica.
Right.
Also, yeah. The GOP sent this one out, which is a little bit weird. If you taught Mitt Romney, there's at least one thing money can't buy. Hashtag you just pulled an Obama.
All right. Well, that's flattering to Obama.
Mm-hmm. There's also a Twitter account. I don't know if you follow this guy, Adolf Joe Biden.
No.
And it has a little picture of the vice president with a Hitler mustache. And it's funny.
Okay. You just pulled an Obama. I mean, that's so open to interpretation, but okay. All right.
There you go. That's a real thing. People are talking about it right now.
Yeah.
Jump on Twitter.
Okay. All right. One other term that trended on Google that I thought worth mentioning. On Friday, April 26th, George Jones, because the iconic country music star died in his Nashville home. Actually, no, not in his home, in the hospital, on Friday at the age of 81. Mm-hmm. He was known for his distinctive voice and also his marriage to Tammy Wynette, fellow country music singer.
Mm-hmm.
Most notable hits includes She Still Thinks I Care, The Grand Tour, and He Stopped Loving Her Today. He had been in the hospital for a fever and irregular blood pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yep. A real icon of country music.
He seems like someone your dad would like. I don't know. I can see your dad and maybe my father-in-law listening to George Jones together.
That wouldn't surprise me in the least.
Has that happened?
I mean, probably. I don't want to say with any sort of definitiveness, but it wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah. Okay. And then, like I said, all weekend, most of the search terms have all been NFL draft. So I decided not to explain the draft to anyone because I would just mess it up.
Skip that.
Let's go to some hashtags on Twitter. Hashtag, I have a love and hate relationship with. Now, this has users expressing things that they both love and hate. Although, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the expression is, I have a love-hate relationship, not love and hate relationship. Mm. Right?
I think, right, yes, I agree.
You're not supposed to say and. So
I don't
think
so.
Why would you do that on Twitter? Why add an extra word to a hashtag when you don't have to?
Oh, that I can't say.
People are effing idiots. Sorry, I don't know where that came from. I have a lot of rage today about underwear models, people who are idiots. Okay, some examples include Sunny Delight. This person has a love and hate relationship with Sunny Delight. He says, sometimes I can't get enough of it, and then other days I can't stand the taste of it. Where do you stand on Sunny Delight?
I kind of go through that phase too. Like, you don't have it for a while, and you're like, oh man, I could really go for that. And halfway through that jug, you're like, what was I thinking?
Yeah, that's gross stuff. Yeah, but I won't go back to how I feel on Twitter about, on sugar. I'll abstain from that. Okay, jalapenos, this person says. They taste so good going down, but a few hours later, it's a different story. So that's a poop tweet.
In case you were wondering.
I'll spell it out for you. Bangs, this person has a love and hate relationship with bangs. When you have them, you want to get rid of them. When you don't have them, you miss them. I kind of do relate to that one.
Okay, I was going to say, yeah, I'm having a tough time relating to that.
I always think bangs look so cute and are such a good idea, and then when I have them, I just want to pin them back. I can't stand the way they look. So, okay, hashtag I miss the days when. This is a nostalgic hashtag, letting users express things that they lament in years past. Examples include, the internet had virtually no effect on me. That person misses the days when. This person misses the days when High School Musical was around. Best 4 years of my childhood right there. So that was a very meaningful show to this person. Also, Bouncing Betty's didn't exist. I had to look this one up. A Bouncing Betty is a German landmine, but it's also a fictional character in the X-Men story, X-Men Nation X. So I'm not sure which Bouncing Betty this person misses the days that they did not exist.
That's an extremely minor character in the X-Men universe, so I would wager to say that they're referring to the landmine.
Okay. How did you know what that was?
I don't really know why I know that term, to be honest. I don't know that from a movie or I know it from what it is, but I do know what a Bouncing Betty is.
I thought for sure it would be drug-related.
I was thinking it was a pastry.
Like a jiggly Jello or something like that?
Maybe it had like a baked apple in it.
Let's create one. I'll put it on Pinterest.
Please do.
Hashtag things that irritate me. I figured this is something you really could get on board with.
I got to tell you, I saw that a couple times pop up in my stream and I thought, I don't want to start going down that rabbit hole because I'm not coming back.
Right. This will be a really good entree for you to overshare. Because I think once you started, yeah, you'd be down. You'd be way down and people would know what are the things that really are upsetting you. It'd be very intimate. It would be intimate, I think, though. Probably a little too intimate for you.
Yeah, it was very tempting in a way. But then I thought, I'm never coming back.
Right. Yeah. I thought about that in like terms of people, the way people drive, the way people like, I don't know, when you sort of arrive at a checkout at the same time and you look at each other and someone's like, I'm just going to go and they don't even offer, like make the pretense that, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't know. Yeah, you can just keep, pause at one or two. Just go. Just go ahead.
Oh my. I just felt like, this is one that I come across quite often. The Starbucks where I go, there's no drive-through.
Mm-hmm.
You must walk into the store. And right in front of the store, there are all these signs that say you cannot park or stop your vehicle right in front of the store. And inevitably, there always is. There's someone there that like leaves their car running and goes inside. You know what I mean? Everyone else has parked their car.
Yeah.
And if I went in and it was, you know, like an elderly woman or, you know what I mean? Like there was any reason why you should be able to leave your car idling there in the fire lane to get your coffee while all the rest of us cannot. And every day this goes through my mind. Every day I think, I'm going to steal that car.
Or just move it.
Just
move it to a legitimate spot.
You are at once so arrogant, so dumb, and so trusting that I really feel like I need you to pardon this. Wake up and smell the coffee. And I'm going to steal your car. And I know like it's difficult for me to resist that temptation, but like I just don't want that tag. I don't want people to be like, oh, Mike, the car thief. You know? Like I just...
You'd have to start going to a different Starbucks.
And there are no others near me. So you can see where that's problematic.
Yeah. But what if you just moved it? Would that be illegal to move someone else's car?
I would bet. I would think so.
Why? Why is that illegal? Like what law makes that illegal?
Well, I couldn't cite the law for it.
Thou shalt not move other people's illegally parked cars.
Right. It might be
Wait,
the law
the
of a higher power instead of the law a law made by man. So right. And
Jesus said I could move your car. Thou shalt not park here, a-hole.
I would not want to have an argument with the person who's purporting that. Hey, Jesus told me to move your car. You know what? I'm going to let it slide because I don't want to get into that dialogue.
If someone really did do that, then you might just not argue with them.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, oh, man, you know, that's just going to go around in circles and we're both going to be losers at the end of that.
One of these days, you're going to actually move the car and you'll get in. There'll be like a huge dog or something.
Right. I know.
Not only are they a-holes who leave their car running where they're not supposed to, but also leave a dog in the car. Mm. Like, I don't really understand why you see so many pets in cars. Like, where are you going that you need to take your dog with you all the time?
Mm-hmm. I think you really have to have plumbed the blackest depth of loneliness in your life to take a pet in the car with you. Like
on your errands.
Right, for your coffee run. Like, there's no way I can go and get coffee unless I take Fido along. I mean, what will Fido do here without me? And then who will I talk to in between, you know, the gaps on AM talk radio?
Oh, man. If we had, you know, impassioned listeners, we'd hear from people who were in fraternities, sororities, or like to travel around with their pets.
That's, I'll box you. I don't care. I'll get right down on the mat with you. I don't know. You want to fight about stupid things? Well, let's go.
People have the right to take their dog to Starbucks.
They do. And I've often, you know, there really are. I feel like we have too many freedoms. And maybe that's, you know, what the last terrorist group was really angry about. You know what I mean? Like, maybe that's why they all hate us so much. Like, they have so many freedoms. And look how fat, lazy, stupid they've become as a result of it.
They can wear bikinis and travel around with cats.
Right. Yeah, right, right. They're taking their cats to Starbucks and the women can vote and read. And I can see where that makes them mad. And sometimes I think, like, where's the country that I can move to where this is simply not permissible? You know, like...
Well, you know, in Saudi Arabia, women are not allowed to drive at all.
Mm-hmm.
Does that appeal?
Well,
don't answer that.
It seems really arid there.
Uh-huh.
That's a big turnoff for me.
All right.
I like autumnal weather.
I'm glad you didn't answer whether or not you think women should drive.
Mm-hmm.
Way to dodge that one.
You can keep baiting that line. I'm not biting at all.
Good. That's all I got for you. No one fake died on the internet this week. And that is the end of the Trending Show, people. Do you have anything you want to talk about besides Iron Man?
No.
Coming out in a few days?
I'll probably wait until I see it before I talk about it anymore. But I am looking forward to seeing Iron Man 3.
Okay, very good. Have a great week, everyone. Thanks for listening to Trending Show, episode number 103. We'll be back next week with more.